Today is a mixture liturgically. We're still technically in Advent, so we're still waiting to prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth. But we've given up long ago strictly doing Advent liturgically. I think I tried that one year, and there was a rebellion of why we weren't singing Christmas carols early in December. So we kind of ease into Christmas, and today, although it is the fourth Sunday of Advent, is still something of a Christmas Sunday. It's the Sunday before Christmas. So we mix those themes, reading scripture that actually we will read as part of our Christmas Eve tradition as well. So hearing God's word now, I call your attention to Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. A poem by Presbyterian author Ann Weems, entitled, "O Lord, You Were Born." Each year about this time, I try to be sophisticated and pretend I understand the bored expressions relating to the Christmas spirit. I nod when they say, "Put the Christ back in Christmas." I say, "Yes, yes," when they shout commercial and hectic, hectic, hectic. After all, I'm getting older, and I've heard it said, Christmas is for children. But somehow, a fa-la-la keeps creeping out. So I'll say it, I love Christmas tinsel, and angel voices that come from the beds upstairs. And I say three cheers for Santa Claus, and the Salvation Army bucket, and all the wrappings and festivities, and special warm feelings. I say it is good giving, praising, celebrating. So hooray for Christmas trees and candlelight and the good old church pageant. Hooray for shepherd boys who forget their lines and wise men whose beards fall off and a Mary who giggles. O Lord, you were born. O Lord, you were born. And that breaks in upon my ordered life like bugles blaring, and I sing, hark, the herald angels sing in the most unlikely places. You were born, and I will celebrate. I rejoice for the carnival of Christmas. I clap for the pajama-clad cherubs and the Christmas cards jammed in the mail slot. I ooh for the turkey and awe for the Christmas pudding. And thank God for the alleluias I see in the faces of people I don't know and yet know very well. Oh, Lord, there just aren't enough choir boys to sing what I feel. There aren't enough trumpets to blow. Oh, Lord, I want bells to peal. I want to dance in the streets of Bethlehem. I want to sing with the heavenly host. For unto us a son was given, and he was called God with us. For those of us who believe, the world is decorated in love. Don't you just love that? I do, whether you do or not. It's wonderful. Well, we have sung and we will sing again, "Joy to the World." We have taken these weeks to light the candles of the Advent wreath, starting with hope and peace and the pink candle of love, and we have completed the circle today by lighting all of those candles, including the candle of the day, the candle of joy. We greet each other with Merry Christmas, people we know and people we don't know, or sometimes we have to say Happy Holidays, but we still greet each other with Merry and Happy. And the seemingly unpardonable sin against the Christmas spirit is the bah humbug of Ebenezer Scrooge, or the crankiness of Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life, or the snarl of the Grinch who stole Christmas. Christmas. Joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. But there are different kinds of Christmas joy. Ann Weems has given us that line, the carnival of Christmas, and the tempo of the poem, and the way the pace of it, and all of the stuff that poets could probably, and English majors could analyze far better than I, celebrate that, which is the carnival of Christmas. You know what it is. It's all of the festivities that surround this season, the traditions that are mixed with secular and sacred, the Santa Clauses and the creche, and all of it, sometimes mixed in a wild carnival of celebration. The lights of the trees and the lights in the windows, the music, the parties, the red clothing that a number of people are wearing, the Christmas trees, the cards, the Christmas ties that come out this time of year. It's all part of the carnival, the festiveness of Christmas joy. There's also the joy of the holidays when we get there, of time off from school and of work, of people coming home for the holidays. There's the joy of presents, not only in receiving them, but the joy of giving them. There's the joy of family and friends. And sometimes there's the joy of just surviving the whole carnival that is Christmas, or at least anticipating survival. All of these kinds of joy are part of the whole Christmas season, and they make up, wrapped up in a whole cacophony, what we might call the Merry Christmas kind of joy. And it is wonderful to greet each other, and we will on Christmas Eve with a Merry Christmas. I think by the time I shake hands after the services, I have said Merry Christmas to 5,000 times is about what it seems. I'm sure it's not that. So I'll say it early. Merry Christmas. You can say it back. Thank you. But there is a difference between Merry Christmas and Christmas joy. Christmas joy is not dependent on the carnival. Christmas joy is not dependent on how merry or happy our circumstances at Christmas seem to be. You know, I've been using Ann Weems' poems from a book, Kneeling in Bethlehem, this year. I'm not a big poetry kind of person, but I discovered her work, and it has just preparing in this Advent season for a preaching series, and she's new to me. Her work is new to me. And I want to tell you that she has ministered to my soul. My wife will tell you that very often early in the morning with my cup of coffee sitting beside me, I'm in the den reading some of the poetry and getting ready to face the carnival that is Christmas. I found her while Googling. I found her while Googling a particular kind of service. It's called a blue Christmas service. Blue, B-L-U-E, the color. It's a kind of service that has developed that a number of churches and a number of faith communities go out of their way and are very intentional about celebrating this time of year, recognizing that Christmas can be a very difficult time. The most recent Christian Century journal that I read came with an article written changing something of T.S. Eliot's words, calling December the cruelest month. Eliot said April was, but for some, December may appear to be the cruelest month. Holidays in general for many people may be difficult. The loss of loved ones and losses of many kinds, So some communities are very intentional about a different kind of service, and Anne Weems, some of her poetry is particularly appropriate, particularly helpful and useful, ministering in those circumstances. I can tell you that Christmas, one particular Christmas, was probably the saddest day of my life, certainly one of them. And so I have great, not only sympathy, but empathy for those who find the carnival of Christmas just a little too hard to bear and still try to hold on to Christmas joy. Well, there is a difference between Merry Christmas and Christmas joy. Let me read one last poem of Anne Weems for today. It's entitled Not Celebrate with a question mark. Not celebrate? Not celebrate? Your burden is too great to bear? Your loneliness is intensified during this Christmas season? Your tears seem to have no end? Not celebrate? You should lead the celebration. You should run through the streets to ring the bells and sing the loudest. You should fling the tinsel on the tree and open your house to your neighbors and call them in to dance. For it is you above all others who know the joy of Advent. It is unto you that a Savior is born this day, one who comes to lift your burden from your shoulders, one who comes to wipe the tears from your eyes. You are not alone, for he is born this day to you. That is Christmas joy, not necessarily Merry Christmas. The shepherds were the first to hear the great news of Christmas joy. There were other anticipations of that, to Mary and to Joseph and even to Zechariah in a preliminary way, but the shepherds were out, as we know, the traditional story, and we have heard it over and over again, and we will hear it again on Christmas Eve, and we should never tire of hearing it. The shepherds were out keeping watch over their flocks by night, and suddenly an angel appeared to them, and listened to the message of the angel. First thing angels usually have to say, don't be afraid. Well, if an angel suddenly appeared to all of us, we probably would be very glad to hear those words. Especially when we think of the heavenly host that later came, which literally it means the army of angels. We might be very happy to know that we need not fear. But you know, even though we put that in the context of the message to the shepherds, that's part of the message for us. That's part of the message for us of Christmas joy. Don't be afraid. Wouldn't the burdens lift off of our shoulders if somehow we could just hear and accept that much of the Christmas message, the message of the angels? Don't be afraid. Because God is with us. That's why. The angel continues, I bring you good news of great joy. It's the message. It's the reality behind the message that is the joy. It's the news of the birth of Christ. It's not all of the carnival that is the joy of Christmas. Yes, it's part of the celebration, and with Weems we celebrate in it. But the joy itself is the news. The great joy, the good news for all the people. Did you hear that? For all the people. For you. For me. For all of us. For this crazy world in which we live. It is good news of great joy for all the people. to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. It's such good news that a heavenly choir burst forth singing the glory and praises to God and of peace on earth and goodwill to one another, especially those who find favor with God. It is good news of great joy, not just for the shepherds. It is good news of great joy, not just for an elite number of people. The shepherds were certainly not elite. But it's for all people in all circumstances. Whether you're a shepherd or a magi of great distinction coming from afar. It is good news for you. And the good news is that the baby who has been born in Bethlehem, and we're not just celebrating a birth of a baby, we're celebrating the birth of the one whom the angel told the shepherds is the Savior, is the Messiah, is the Lord. That is what makes it good news of great joy, a particular kind of Christmas joy. I think this particular kind of Christmas joy has one of the best expressions of it I have read. It's not a poem, but it comes from a very academic commentary on the Gospel of Luke by a scholar from Princeton and Cambridge University, a man by the name of Norval Glendenhuss. He writes this: when a child was born in Bethlehem in the humblest circumstances, a new and unutterably glorious song was born in the heart of certain people. And during the years he spent as man on earth, he brought joy into the hearts of many. But throughout that time, ever since the prediction of the pious Simeon that a sword would pass through Mary's soul, let me come out of the quote, and that is when Jesus is presented to the temple at a very young age, the old prophet Simeon takes him in his hand and makes a wonderful prediction about how he would be the cause of the rising and falling of many, and that a sword of sorrow would pierce Mary's own soul, Mary's own heart. Now back to the quote. The joyful tidings of the angels at his birth were obscured by the dark shadow of the cross that fell over his life. This shadow became darker and darker when Jesus had to endure the dereliction of God on the cross. Nature itself was enveloped in darkness as a sign of the black night into which the Lamb of God was plunged for the salvation of sinners. But the Son of God, who is life itself, was mightier than death and darkness and arose triumphantly from the grave. Then the glad tidings that had been proclaimed at his birth and public appearance resounded through heaven and earth with irresistible power. And ever since then, the world has been filled with a bright light and a beautiful song, which through every century have given true life and joy to millions, such as had never yet been experienced upon this earth. For Jesus has conquered, so that we also may be more than conquerors. As the risen Lord, he raises us from spiritual death to true life, and at his second advent, he will also cause us to arise from physical death with celestial glorified bodies to everlasting bliss. End quote. That's Christmas joy. And it does not depend on a Merry Christmas. Nevertheless, I wish you a Merry Christmas. But even more, may you and I know Christmas joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.